Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode, episode number 001 of the TV3 podcast, a perspective on over the top TV everywhere and the evolution of television. This, again, is episode 001, sort of a pilot episode, and we are going to be talking about cord cutting. Is it a real thing? But before we get into that, I want to just provide some background on what this podcast is all about. I am your host, Tom Schaefer. I am also the CEO of a company called Float Left Interactive, Inc., who is the official sponsor. And you could say that this is the official podcast of Float Left Interactive. And we are a leading provider of over-the-top and TV everywhere products and services. And what does that mean? So for those that aren't familiar, let me give you a quick background on over-the-top and TV everywhere, which are very closely related but fundamentally different. So over-the-top is a method in which television services can deliver their content to consumers. And I'm going to do this off the top of my head, so I hope it doesn't sound like I'm not aware of what I'm saying. I'm just thinking as I'm kind of bringing this, as I'm describing this, because there are a lot of different ways that folks identify with what specifically over the top is. But the idea is that as a consumer, I can access content. Let's just take Netflix, for example. Netflix is a perfect example and the poster child for over the top. It's essentially the idea behind it is that I can subscribe to Netflix and I don't have to have a cable subscription. I don't have to have I need the internet is all I really need. So, and again, this is the sort of the paradox with this whole thing. If I could buy internet that was fairly inexpensive and not have it bundled with a television service, most of the internet providers are bundling their services with cable subscriptions, with television services. So, but if I could decouple that and just get internet, I could sign up for Netflix, $9.99 a month or whatever it is, and not have to deal with any cable provider. It's just separate. It's completely independent. And the way that Netflix delivers their content to the consumers is through, a variety of different ways. It started with a website back. Well, first of all, let's just even before that. I mean, we're talking about digital distribution right now, but before Netflix became what everybody knows to be Netflix today, they were delivering DVDs to your house. I mean, everybody knows that. Most people know that. And then they realized, well, wait a minute, there's technology is sufficient enough. Like there's this great compression technology now. We can get pretty high quality content squeezed into a format that I can deliver over the internet. And let's just put it onto our website and call it Watch Instantly. And let's see what happens there. And it was a big hit. I mean, the content wasn't great, but they had some titles that you could get through this thing called Watch Instantly. And that was the first way that Netflix really started delivering the content. But from there, continued growth in technology, devices started to appear on the market, consumer electronic devices that could basically deliver the video through the internet to your TV. So that was a breakthrough. So let's just go back 2008, 2009, a little company called Roku at the time is a manufacturer. I'm sure most people that are listening to the podcast now are familiar with who Roku is. But back then it was a small little company that was creating a set-top box that was called the Netflix box. It was actually designed for Netflix. I mean, you basically plugged it in to your television with an HDMI cable and that was it. You were watching, I think it was your Watch Instantly or your watch list. I think that was what you would watch. And so you would watch that and then you'd do it through your television through this device. And that really became, that was really a pivotal moment for Netflix. Now Netflix started to deploy its app on all different types of devices. So mobile phones, tablets, And then TVs became smart. Now we have smart TVs. And so apps were getting built for smart TVs with Netflix on there and Blu-ray devices. And I mean, all different types of things. So now it's pretty much at a point now, no matter which device that you buy, if it has the capability of having apps and it has internet access, there's a very, very good chance that you'll have Netflix on it. And so Netflix has created its own distribution platform via applications that are built and deployed on these devices. And again, because of the fact that it is separate from a cable subscription, I mean, again, forget the fact that internet is bundled with TV for a moment. If we just talk about the TV aspect of it, I don't have to have cable TV or satellite TV to get Netflix. That is what makes it over the top. It sort of rides over the top of your existing cable or satellite service. TV Everywhere, from a technology standpoint, from a consumer's consumption standpoint, if that even makes any sense, is fundamentally is the same fundamentally, but the business model is different in that TV Everywhere is, I can get the apps, I can't access the application without having it being authenticated through the cable provider. So it's a little bit different in that way. So if I were to install, let's just say, and a lot of the pay TV networks are doing this nowadays, where they're basically saying, you want apps. I get it. You know, you want to have an app on your smart TV, on your set-top boxes. And by the way, just for the sake of leveling the playing field here with what we're talking about, the array of devices has become so big, so large. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, the Amazon Fire TV, all the smart TVs, gaming consoles, mobile devices, tablets, phones, they're all considered an endpoint, a distribution point for the content nowadays. So TV Everywhere is sort of like, again, it's sort of like OTT, but it's like I need to be connected to my cable provider. So AMC, another example of a here's a company that is bundled with your cable service, but they recognize that consumers are using apps. And they're also trying to figure out ways to, they don't want people to cord cut. They don't want them to, you know, completely cut away from their, from their cable provider, from their TV services. So they say, okay, well, we can give you an app. You know, we'll deploy an app on a Roku device or an Apple TV and you can access it, but we still want you to authenticate through the service. The challenge for folks that want to cut the cord, and again, just so we're clear on what this means, it literally means people just not utilize having cable services anymore. Cable or satellite services, they are literally just saying, screw it, I'm not paying $150 a month anymore. Why would I do that when I can get, a $50 little set-top box from Best Buy and get access to all my content or the majority of the content. You're not going to get access to your local programming. You're not going to get access to a lot of sporting events, but the majority of your movies and TV shows are all on demand and you can get access to that stuff through these devices. So it's pretty interesting. You know, if you're a minimalist or you just want to cut back, you just want to budget and a lot of people have been frustrated by how expensive these bundles are. These services and not being able to have any flexibility with what you're picking in there, what you're watching. So it's like it's several hundred channels of nonsense that I would never watch. Maybe I watch, a dozen channels at sporadically over the course of a year. But most of my time is within the app. I'm looking at Netflix. I'm looking at Amazon Video on Demand. I'm watching movies through these things. I'm watching Hulu. So it's a real challenge for the TV services, the pay TV services, to figure out how do we retain our customers. So OTT is kind of the movement, and TV Everywhere is a little bit of is the services. It's the cable services and the satellite services trying to deal with OTT. So, but at the end of the day, they both require applications. They both require a certain technology stack that the businesses need. In other words, if you are a business that has content that you want to deliver to a consumer, there are certain things that's outside the cable services. If you want to go over the top, or if you want to do something like TV Everywhere, you have to have certain technology in place to do that. And so anyway, getting all the way back to it, Float Left Interactive is a provider. We help businesses create over the top and TV Everywhere services, television services for their consumers, for their viewers. And we've been doing this for a while. We've been working with companies like Roku since very early 2010, late 2009. So, excuse me. And at the end of the day, you know, we're building apps, we're providing layers of technology, software, quality of service. We do quality assurance testing. We do all kinds of different things to help these businesses create the best services that they can for their viewers. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Getting back to what we were talking about just a minute or two ago about cord cutting. I mean, so the subject matter for this episode is cord cutting. Is it a real thing? And, you know, look, this is kind of our pilot episode. We're just trying to get our feet wet with some of this material. We definitely want to get your feedback, your questions. We want to know what are the things that, as a business, either on the technology side or the publishing side, what are the things you're struggling with? What can we help you with? We're going to be talking about, you know, how to build a unified sort of application experience or TV service across multiple applications and make it unified and make it seamless. And how do we, like Netflix, how do we make the applications better for the consumer so that they're staying in longer, they're watching more content? How do we make it more engaging? How do we make the UI more rich and full and engaging? So these are all of the things. And how do you do that across multiple platforms that are completely different, that have different languages, have different quality assurance testing standards? All these things make it very, very hard to do as a technology company. And so, I mean, and then, you know, just from the business side of that, how do you productize something like that? And we have an amazing product called Flycast, which we'll talk about later, which is essentially a turnkey platform for distributing. You could do it both OTT and you can do TVE through it. So it's a pretty powerful platform. We definitely want to get into the growth and the growth problems and challenges for businesses. It's just very hard for businesses to create. If you're on the publishing side, it's very hard to create a comprehensive service and make it attractive. How do you get viewers to it? How do you get people to know that it's there if you're not getting, you know, absurd amounts of marketing behind it? I mean, how do you attract viewers to your content? It's hard. So it's like you could create the best suite of applications, you know, in the world, and you could even have great content, but it doesn't matter if people can't discover you. And so the issue that we're dealing with now is, as wide open as everything is and as wonderful as it is for everyone that's trying to get into this business from the publishing side, it's very competitive, very, very competitive. Cord cutting, let's just dive back. We're bouncing around a little bit all over the place here, but again, apologies, as this is episode 1 for Float Left and TV3, but this is also my first real go at doing a podcast. And I was determined to record this today, as we are trying to publish this every Tuesday, and this will be available on our website, and I'll list all the links in a moment here. But yeah, so cord cutting was something that when this technology started to come and become obvious to people that you could go into the store and buy these devices or buy TVs and get this, you know, access to this content outside of your cable provider, or your pay TV provider. I keep trying to figure out the best way to describe that, because, you know, cable and satellite are fundamentally different, but they're providing TV services. So your pay TV services. But once that started to become obvious to people, people started going nuts over this concept of cord cutting. Like, hey, I'm getting rid of my cable and I'm just going to get I'm going to go out and buy one of those HD antennas. By the way, everything over the air now is high definition. You can actually go out to the store and purchase one of these, these HD antennas, and it will actually pick up your local programming in high definition, and it's pretty spectacular. I mean, it's great. So that, along with a device that's streaming on-demand content, could provide pretty compelling reason to quote unquote cut the cord. The problem is that the pay TV services have made it so almost it almost doesn't make sense, because the internet service is bundled most of the time. That the internet is bundled with the services, the TV services. So, I mean, and the difference is maybe $10 to $15, right? So if it's like $90, I don't know, I'm just making this up. It's like $90 for your bundled service. You cut your TV aspect out of it. You're still at maybe you're at $69.99 a month or something like that. So it's almost like, why even do it? So, and the statistics aren't really telling us much. There's not a clear sign that consumers are cutting the cord. They are shaving the cord. Their cord shaving. They may be cutting back on some of the channels that they had, or some of the, maybe they're getting rid of HBO, for example. Here's a great example of a company that went from being a pure bundled pay TV service, HBO, to then going to TV Everywhere, which was HBO Go. So HBO Go was the TV Everywhere version of HBO, which meant that I could subscribe to HBO on my, through my service provider. I could get HBO on a device, so I could watch it anywhere. I could get it on my mobile device. I can get it on my Roku or my, maybe one of my smart TVs. But I'm still, it still requires me, it actually asks you for your username and password for your service provider, so they can verify that you're a subscriber, that you actually have HBO. Then it went to over the top with HBO Now. HBO Now is completely independent of anything else. So I don't have to have any cables or I'm sorry, TV service, pay TV service to get HBO. I can get HBO Now. And so that's a great example. But, that's a lot of the evolution of these businesses. They were sort of experimenting a little bit with TV Everywhere. They're concerned that, that they don't want to cannibalize their main business. I mean, obviously, the pay TV services are their main business. They don't want to make it super attractive for you to just cut that cord. So sometimes, but HBO has actually done this now. HBO has almost everything that you can get on their traditional, their pay TV service lineup, you can get now through the app, which is very cool. So anyway, this idea of cord cutting is we're not seeing a lot of people just dropping their services and getting, going 100% over the top. It's really not something that we're seeing. What we are seeing is that it's a complementary service, that it's not a one versus the other type of a thing. We're seeing people that they're keeping their services, their pay TV services, and they're just getting whatever OTT services they want to sign up for. A lot of Netflix. Netflix has been experiencing insane growth over the last decade. I mean, absolutely absurd growth. And it's a testament of the industry. It's just, and the you know, the pay TV networks have been doing, or the services have been doing a great job of retaining their subscribers. So, yeah. And again, just kind of, you know, moving that forward and trying to figure out ways to, keep their viewers, keep their subscribers. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of be the format for this, or the bulk of the material for this first episode. Again, it's just kind of, you know, more of a, call it a pilot episode, if you will. It's kind of an experiment a little bit. We want to start producing these once a week, but we definitely want to get some feedback from you all. And we want to hear about what are your challenges? What are you facing? What are you dealing with that, that we can help answer? We want to hear about, as a publisher, you're struggling. I'm sure you're struggling to figure out how to monetize. Do I create an advertising service? So in other words, an on-demand service where I have ads layered in there as my primary source of monetization, or am I going to do a subscription service? You know, and we'll talk, we'll have a whole nother episode. I think our next episode is going to be on, you know, the AVOD versus SVOD model, and versus the TVOD model, which is the transactional video on demand, which is like pay-per-view. So a lot of publishers are experimenting with these types of variations, and you know, we're digging in. We have some pretty good info on the success rate of all of those and the types of content that are required for each, and hopefully that'll answer a lot of your questions. So again, the bottom line is that this podcast is designed for those folks that are interested, both just from the technology perspective, you know, just want to understand how we do what we do and how this, you know, how we help these businesses. We also want to help the publishing side, you know, those folks that are looking to get into the business, that want to create services, they've got great content and they want to just create a, you know, and most of the time, you know, an over the top service, and what's the best way for them to approach it, and how do we, and hopefully we can help them, by the way, but we can certainly provide as much information via the podcast and our website as we possibly can. So our website is floatleft.tv, and we are going to be posting these podcasts under our, so if you go to the website, you'll see up in the upper right hand corner, you'll see the insights section. We'll be posting, we have blog posts in there, and you'll also see our podcast in there. And you know, we're kind of calling it the TV3 podcast. It's kind of a cool name for now. We'll maybe it'll change, but right now you may see something like TV3 podcast in there. So check that out. And we're on Twitter, FL_interactive is our Twitter handle. And please post any questions that you have that you'd like us to talk about on the podcast on Twitter there, so we can respond to that. And certainly, I mean, think for right now, info@floatleft.tv is our email address to send any kind of questions about the podcast. You can also email me directly. My email is tom@floatleft.tv. And we'd love to hear from you one way or the other. Again, just really want to understand what you're struggling with out there. If you're a technology company, you know, whether it's simple things like or specific things like Roku certification challenges, or how to develop a Roku channel, or how to develop a smart TV application, or you know, how do you make multiple applications connected and make them seamless for your customers. I mean, we want to help all of you on that front. And again, from the publishing side, whether it's questions about how to monetize, what type of content should I go out and license, you know, some of the stuff may be a little fuzzy, but we'll do our best to answer any questions that you have. And but with that, I'm going to wrap it up, as this is our first episode, pilot episode, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll talk in a week. Thank you. Please subscribe. Bye-bye.